This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون وقال تعالى في مقام آخر ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى قال رب لم حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى وقال تعالى في مقام آخر يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ويضل الله الظالمين ويفعل الله ما يشاء وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم اللهم قنعني بما رزقتني وبارك لي فيه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers, elders, the ayat al-kareema that I have recited before you, in this verse Allah Rabbul Izzat gives us the recipe and the formula of something which every human is desirous of. Allah gives us the formula and the recipe of something which every human, be it the believer or the disbeliever, every person that came in this world is desirous of that. And what is that? A good life, a blissful life, a prosperous life. In this ayat al-kareema, Allah explains who will become deserving of this blissful life and this prosperous life. Allah says, "Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha." Whoever does an action of good, righteousness, be it a male or a female. And this is the beauty of Islam. When we speak of gender equality, then the beauty of Islam is, in fact, at times, Allah Rabbul Izzat has been so kind to the woman. Generally, the stress is that Islam undermines the rank and the status of woman. But if we really want to grade and value equality, then the yardstick of measuring equality would be that the very action, if a male does, how much reward does he receive? And if a female does that action, how much reward will she receive? Now if we really analyze, then at times the men have to exert themselves to attain a particular rank. For example, in the time of at the time of Fajr Salah, in the winter morning, when the husband will stand up, perform wuzu, take his car out, risk himself more so in our country because of theft and crime, come to the house of Allah and perform salah. This sister, this mother, this daughter will get up in the comfort of her bedroom, perform wuzu in her ensuite, and perform fajr namaz next to her bed, and after fajr she will hop back into her bed. This man prostrating before Allah in the house of Allah, and this woman prostrating before Allah in the comfort of her bedroom, they both will return with the same reward for performing fajr salah. The woman came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, hadha al-jihad katabahu Allahu ala al-rijal, fa'in usibu ujiru wa'in kutilu kanu ahya'a, wa nahnu ma'shara al-nisa, naqumu alayhim fama lana min thalik." The men, they strive in the path of Allah, they slay and they are slain, and they earn the high ranks of martyrdom. We sit at home, we see to their children, we attend to their domestic needs. What is our share of reward? Nabi alayhi salam told this woman, she was sent by a delegation of women, "Ablighi man laqiti min an-nisa an ta'at az-zawj wa i'tirafan bi haqqihi ya'dilu dhalika wa qalilun min kunna man yaf'aluhu." Serve the husband at home, attend to his needs, see to his children, so that it is easy for him to strive in the path of Allah. He will be standing in the thick of battle, he will be hurling himself into the midst of that battle, and yourself and your husband will enjoy the same ranks in Jannat. So this is the beauty of Islam. Man amila salih, whoever does an action, min dhakarin aw untha, be it male or female, of course, wa huwa mu'min, provided he or she be the believer. For any virtuous act to earn you eternal bliss and for it to become rewarding in the life to come, iman is the prerequisite. Allah does not deny that perhaps the disbelievers at times in social activities might even excel the believers. But for them, the reward will be granted to them in this world in the name of fame. We see it happening around us. People who strove for their people, fought for their people. Allah has given them fame. Allah has given them long lifespan. But as far as akhirat is concerned, I quote four verses before you now, where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala explains the regret and the sorrow and the despair of the kafir when he will come before Allah, thinking, assuming, hoping that I will have some reward for what I did in this world. Allah Rabbul Izzat says in the 13 juz of the Quran, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ. Allah says the good actions of the disbelievers, because they lack faith, the maximum it will earn them, Allah, the parable that Allah gives, كَرَمَادٍ. Allah says it is like ashes. Now ashes has no substance, it has no base, it has no physical shape. Number one, it is ashes. This is the similarity that Allah gives. Then Allah says, اِشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي يَوْمٍ عَاصِبٍ. It is ashes which have no shape, which have no substance, and then a furious wind blows. What will happen to that ashes? Likewise, Allah says, whatever good a kafir does, he or she will be rewarded in this world, compensated in this world, with long lifespan, with material fame and recognition. On the day of Qiyamah, the first page of the 19th Sipar, Allah says, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. When we will focus to the good actions of the disbelievers, we will make it into scattered dust. There will be nothing when they will stand before Allah. In fact, Allah gives a very beautiful example in the 18th juz in Surah Nur. Allah says, كَسَرَابٍ بِقِيْعَةٍ يَحْسَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً. Allah likens the good actions, social activities, helping the poor, the needy, whatever it is. But because the prerequisite of that earning them reward in akhirat is iman, which is not found, Allah likens it to the mirage. A person traveling and the reflection of the sun, on the tar or on a dusty desert, Allah says, يَحْسَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً. That person who has thirst, he comforts himself, he consoles himself. A kilometer ahead and I can see something sparkling. It's nothing but water. Allah says, this kafir is consoling himself. Let me die and I know I will have this and I will have that. But it is nothing. What is that mirage? It's the deception, it's the reflection of the sun. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَهُ. Allah says, this thirsty man, he retains and resists his thirst, that very soon my thirst will be quenched. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَهُ. Look at the parables of the Quran. But when he comes to that point, لَمْ يَجِدْهُ شَيْئًا. He finds nothing there. وَوَجَدَ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ فَوَفَّاهُ حِسَابًا. Yes, he will find his Lord there, who is ready to take hisab of him. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. These are those people whose actions were rendered in vain because of denying the existence of their Lord. And the irony of the whole thing, the Quran then further mentions, they were under the impression, يُحْسِنُونَ sun'a, that there's no one in this world doing better work than myself. This is the words of the Quran. I'm not saying it myself. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ. And they were under the impression, أَنَّهُمْ, that verily they, يُحْسِنُونَ sun'a, were doing good actions. But because of lack of faith, nothing will avail them. What does Allah say? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. These are those who denied the existence of their Lord. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. So there will be no reckoning, there will be no scale. You will only that person will have a scale who has good or bad. But the one who only has evil, there's nothing to weigh. When there's both, that's the time. خَلَتُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. So nevertheless, Allah says, speaking of the recipe and the formula of a blissful life, a happy life, a prosperous life, what is it Allah says? مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Whoever does an action of good, be it a male or female. Briefly, we spoke about this, the equality of Islam in rewarding, be it the male or the female. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. The first condition is that one has to be a believer for any action of his to earn him eternal reward. Yes, in the world, nothing will go unrewarded. You did something good, Allah will compensate you. But the believer, Allah will give you in this world also, and Allah will give you in the akhirat. Hassan radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Nabi alayhi salam, mounted onto a beautiful conveyance and is riding with a swift pace. In comes a Yahud. He looks at him and he says, Hassan, but aren't you the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, yes. But didn't your grandfather say that the world is a jail for the believer and it is paradise for the disbeliever? Look at me in torn and tattered clothes. I don't have a conveyance. You are the believer. You are mounted on a beautiful conveyance. Hassan radiallahu anhu gave what a beautiful example. He says, yes, oh my friend, let me tell you what the joy and the bliss and the happiness that I'm experiencing in comparison to what my Lord has prepared for me in Jannah. This is a jail. And the agony and the stress and the depression and the tension that you are going through, In comparison, I haven't got time to open up the torment and the punishment of the disbeliever in Akhirat. One time will pass on the dweller of Jahannam, and then they will decide to exercise patience in Jahannam. And what will they say? That we noticed and observed in the world, when a man had to serve a penalty, if he was, you know, a good person, he was a good prisoner, he did not violate the laws of the cell and the jail, then his penalty would be reduced. Let's implement that theory, and let's not scream and ask to be taken out. Let's be patient. Who knows? By being patient and soft and gentle and passive, perhaps we could be removed from Jahannam. After years, one day of which is, the Quran says, كَأَلْفِ سَنَةً, equivalent to 100,000 years. Years in this manner will lapse with no one to respond to them. After that, the kafir will say, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْنَا أَجَزِعْنَا أَمْ صَبَرْنَا مَا لَنَا مِنْ مَحِيصٍ. سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْنَا أَجَزِعْنَا أَمْ صَبَرْنَا. Whether you squeal or you observe silence, there's nobody to respond to your plea. So what you are going through is paradise in comparison to what you will go through on the day of Qiyamah. What does Allah promise? Good action. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Allah promises a good life, a happy life, a blissful life. The very big question that everybody needs to know at this time, and perhaps the world in its entirety, is, Maulana, can you kindly define a good life? What is a good life? Generally understood as a healthy life and a wealthy life. What's a good life? A healthy life and a wealthy life. If you have that too, you have a good life. This is the foolish concept of many a people, and this is how many of us define good life. But if we study Quran and Hadith, then we will realize that a good life is not necessarily, at times yes, it could be a healthy life and it could be a wealthy life. It could be a healthy life and it could be a wealthy life at times, but not at always. For the simple reason that Allah promises a good life when Iman and Amal Salihah is found. Every one of us unanimously will agree that Iman and Amal Salihah cannot be found of a higher degree in the galaxy of Anbiya and Sahaba. Nobody could excel them in these two qualities. Yet when we assess the life of these chosen servants of Allah, we don't find healthy lives and we don't find wealthy lives. Understand what has been said. Allah promises a good life. The general interpretation of a good life is a healthy life and a wealthy life. On what two conditions? Iman and Amal Salihah. Iman and Amal Salihah was found to the highest level in the galaxy of prophets and in the noble companions of our master Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if anybody was deserving of that good life, then it was those people. However, when we assess the lives of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, then respected brothers and elders, Ayyub alayhi salam, whom the Quran says, inna wajadnahu sabira ni'amal abdu innahu awwab. Allah testifies that Ayyub is a wonderful man. He's a beautiful person. He turns to me constantly. He has patience and tolerance. Allah Rabbul Izzat tested Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he lost his children. He lost his farms. He lost his belongings. He had to be separated from society. One day his wife told him and implored him, oh Ayyub, why not you invoke your Lord and ask him now to take away these difficulties and substitute it with prosperity. Ayyub alayhi salam teared and he said, Allahu Akbar. My Lord gave me 80 years of prosperity. Let 80 years of difficulty pass and then perhaps I have the rights to ask my Allah. When it comes to poverty, which we rule out, if a man is poor, he has a bad life. If a man is wealthy, he has a good life. But go to these very wealthy people. Wallah, don't be deceived by that false smiles on their faces. If you go in those hearts and those homes, it's hollow. There's no happiness. There's no bliss. There's no joy. Between husband and wife, between father and son, they are devoid of divine bliss. And happiness, bliss, joy, as I will explain now, is something that is inspired. It cannot be purchased. With regards to poverty, just take the example of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that he's sitting and the color of his face has turned pale. Ka'b ibn Ujra radiallahu anhu walks in. He noticed symptoms of hunger manifesting on the face of Nabi alayhi salam. Without saying a word, he excuses himself. He goes and he works for someone. He gets in lieu some dates. He rushes and he comes back to Nabi alayhi salam, presents it before Nabi alayhi salam, greets him and then smiles. Nabi alayhi salam realized the reaction of Ka'b because of the hunger of Nabi alayhi salam. He looked at him and he said, Awa tuhibbuni ya Ka'b? Oh Ka'b, do you love me? He said, by Allah, I love you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Undur ma taqul. Oh Ka'b, that statement is not easy. Think and ponder and reflect. To claim love to me will demand much from you. Ponder what you are saying, O Ka'b. He looks into his heart. He says, I swear by the grandeur of my Allah, I love you, O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, In kunta sadiqa, if you are so honest in the claim that you make, fa'idda lil faqri tijfafa, then prepare yourself for poverty. Lal faqru asra ila man yuhibbuni min as-sayl ila muntahahu. Verily, poverty, sickness, calamity, adverse condition comes faster to those who love me than water rolls down a slope. So that makes us understand that a good life for every one of us are desirous. It's not necessary a healthy life and a wealthy life. Then the million-dollar question is, what is a good life? Maulana, define a good life under the commentary of this verse. And then another ayat, let me link this up. The concluding verses of Surah Maryam. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Allah says, that person who turns his back to my remembrance, I will give him a life narrowed upon him. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. And I will raise him blind on the day of Qiyamah. He will stand up from his grave, objecting on my decision. قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى. Oh my Lord, have you perchance made a mistake that you have risen me blind? وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. I was among those who could see in this world. Allah will answer in this objection of his. قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. You acted blind before my commandments. Today we are going to leave you with no one to listen to you. What is then a good life? Two qualities. Now here we say that Allah has promised a narrowed life for those that disobey Allah. Yet on the contrary, the external happenings outside is something contradicting both. Those that disobey Allah, those that deny the existence of Allah, perhaps they are living the most luxurious life, the most blissful life, the most wealthy life. You name it and they have it. And the Quran says that Allah will give them a narrowed life. Let us understand briefly, what does this entail? The ulama mentioned two qualities that will determine and define a good life. Primarily, this will shape or focus on determining what is a good life. Number one, the great quality of contentment will be given to this person. What will Allah grant him? Contentment. And what is contentment? The poet says, Al-Abdu Hurrun. Al-Abdu Hurrun ma qana'a wal-Hurru Abdun ma tama'a. The king sitting on his throne is a slave as long as he has greed. And the slave is a king as long as he is content. One person came to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi, and he offered a sum of money to him, and he says, this is from my side. He refused and he says, I don't want it. He says, please accept it from me. I will feel honored if you will accept my wealth. He says, alright, I have taken your wealth. Now what do you want? He says, make dua. What dua? Make dua, Allah must give me a lot of money. So he smiled and he said, I am better. I don't have and I don't want. You have and you want more. And this is what the ulama say. Where the Quran says the one that disobeys Allah, although certain ulama say a narrowed life refers to the grave, while Sa'id ibn Jubair, who is one of the senior tabi'een, he says, no, in this world, Allah will snatch the quality of contentment from them. So they will own empires, they will own kingdoms, they will have anything and everything, but the constant fear of my rival, the constant fear that it will be snatched away, the constant fear of the depreciation of the rand, the constant fear of this and that, will make their life miserable despite their comforts and their luxuries. That as wealthy as they are, they will sleep by a pill. And as poor as that pauper is, he will sleep with no pill. You don't wake him up, he'll never get up. That man, you don't sedate him, he'll never sleep. Who is the king? Who is ruling? Who is happy? Who is delighted? Who's enjoying his family? No time for Allah. No time for his family. How sad, how tragic. He owns so much, but he can't sit down 15 minutes and have a decent meal. He's biting here, running there, answering there, dispatching there, signing here, shouting there, reprimanding there. Brothers, is this a life? How long will this money, this shop, this kingdom, this empire, till what point will he take us? When will we say enough? Someone looked at Nabi alayhi salam and he said, Shibta ya Rasulallah, O Nabi of Allah, it looks like you are aging. He says, yes, O my Sahaba, I think you are looking at the white strands on my hair. According to authentic riwayat, when he left this world at the age of 63, there were 20 strands of white hair. He goes on to say, yes, O my Sahabi, Shayya batni al-hudu wa akhawatuha. The frightening description of Qiyamah in Surah Hud has made the hair of my head become white. When will the time come when this ummah will start aging because of the fear of Qiyamah? When will the time come when this ummah's nights will become restless with the fear of the torment of the grave? When will the time come when the ummah will be restless in his bed, tossing and turning like he's doing today for payments and debts, for the out of the fear of Jahannam? But contrary to that, this man is aging because of his shop. He's hunched because of his shop. He's got sugar because of his shop. He's depressed because of his shop. He's hospitalized because of his shop. He's severe ties with his parents because of his shop. Every evil associated to that man is because of that shop of his. So where is joy and where is happiness? The first quality we are only touching and time has left. The first quality that will define a good life, contentment. Allah says, in radita bima qasamtuhu lak. O my servant, if you will exercise happiness on my distribution in your favor, what I have decided for you, if you will be satisfied with what I have decided, be it physically, be it financially, whatever I have decided in your share, physically, financially, you will be satisfied, content. I promise, arahtu qalbak wa badanak wa takuna indi mahmuda. Divinely, I will inspire you with such solace, such happiness, such bliss, that even the kings of this world will not enjoy it. وَإِن لَمْ تَرْضَى. And if perchance you are not happy on my selection, I will fill your heart and mind with such worries. And end of the day, you will only get that which I have allotted for you, nothing more, despite you working and toiling and exerting and exhorting yourself. The second quality which will determine and define a good life, as mentioned by the scholars of tafsir, is that such a person, regardless of the condition that comes on him, Allah will give him the ability to constantly focus on the reward promised on this condition. So if perchance sickness comes his way, he will understand, he will try, but if perchance he is not cured, he will understand that this is the will of my Allah. And like it comes in the hadith, إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي مَنْ لَا يُصْلِحُ إِمَانَهُ إِلَّا السَّقْمُ. Allah says, there are some servants of mine, only sickness will keep them obligated to me. If I cure them, as they ask me, they will use that very talent that I will give them against my deen, to disobey me, to deny me. So out of my wisdom, I delay the acceptance of their dua, but rather I keep it in akhirat. It comes in the hadith that some people whom Allah did not give them the riches of this world, and Allah withheld the luxuries of this world, on the day of Qiyamah, when these poor paupers will stand up before Allah, Allah will address them, and according to some riwayat, Allah will apologize to them, and Allah will say, O my servants, ma zawaytu dunya ankum lihawanikum alayya. I never withheld the bounties of this world because I did not like you, but I only did it because I loved you. I only did it because I loved you. Today you, because of the poverty and the hardship, and you made sabr and you endured and you persevered. فَإِنِّي لَنْ أُعْطِيَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ بِقَدْرِ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. O my servants, you will not be rewarded proportionate to your actions, but you will be rewarded proportionate to my grandeur, my status, my greatness, and my power. Ask what you want to ask. فَإِنِّي لَنْ أُعْطِيَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ. Nothing is restricted. Ask and enjoy whatever you want. So what is it? Constantly, whatever calamity comes their way, Allah will give them contentment. They will be satisfied that this is what my Allah has decided. Now I've got to see, in this sickness of mine, in this poverty of mine, in me losing my beloved, how can I conduct myself as my Allah wants me to conduct myself? And constantly focusing on the reward promise. This is what Allah Ta'ala will grant them. And as I mentioned, the one that is deprived of the obedience of Allah, what is meant by a narrowed life? He will be deprived of contentment. Whatever he owns will never be enough. I terminate with one incident which I read on one masjid board. سَيَظِلُّ عِبْرَةً لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. Like the poet says, لَا تَجْزَعْ إِذَا أَعْسَرْتَ يَوْمًا فَقَدْ أَيْسَرْتَ فِي الزَّمَنِ الطَّوِيلِ وَلَا تَظْنُمْ بِرَبِّكَ ظَنَّ سُوءٍ فَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْلَى بِالْجَمِيلِ وَالْعُسْرُ يَتْبَعُهُ يَسَارٍ وَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ أَسْبَقُ كُلَّ قِيلٍ فَلَوْ أَنَّ الْعُقُولَ تَسُوقُ رِزْقًا لَكَانَ الْمَالُ عِنْدَ ذَوِي الْعُقُولِ. If we elaborate on these couplets, time will lapse. We terminate with this incident. One very occupied father, as he is in his business, in his shop, in his factory, one day comes home. So his son comes and he taps him. And he says, Daddy, can I ask you a question? I'm busy, man. Can't you see I'm busy signing this? I got to sort out this. I got to pay this. What do you want? Talk quickly. It's too occupied, too busy. The child, waiting. When will my father come? Like the poet says, لَيْسَ الْيَتِيمُ مَنْ انْتَهَى إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَاهُ مِنْ هَمِّ الْحَيَاةِ وَخَلَّفَاهُ ذَلِيلًا. That if you sympathize in with that young child who has lost his father and you call him an orphan, the poet says, come, I tell you about another orphan who has a father but is too occupied in his shop. I think, look at this child with the same eyes of sympathy. He also has a father, but in essence he's deprived of the love of a father, the compassion of the father. That father's morning and evening, day and night is in that shop. What is he? Talk quickly. Oh my father, how much do you earn per hour? What do you want to know how much I earn? You got your school bag, you got your toys, you got whatever you want. What do you want to know how much I earn? Okay, I earn 20 rand an hour. You happy? Go. The child says, one more question, Daddy. What is it? Can you borrow me 10 rand? You're asking me like as if you are my father. What do you want to tender if I just gave you money yesterday? Go from here. The child turns away and he goes to sleep. Puts his head down and he falls off to sleep. As the moments pass and the father's tension settles, the thought crosses his heart, after all, it's my beloved, my son. If I can't give him money, who is going to give him? So he comes to him and he taps him and he says, my son, my beloved son, sorry, tell me what you want. You want a 10 rand, here, have it. So the child lifts his pillow, takes the 10 rand and he puts it under the pillow. And while the child is doing that, the father sees another 10 rand. So he says, oh my son, you've been asking me for one 10 rand. I've given to you, I apologize, but I see you have another 10 rand. He says, oh my father, I have been saving money. And now that you have told me that you earn 20 rands an hour, I want to ask you, can I buy 1 hour from you tomorrow so that you can come home early so at least I can have 1 hour with my father after 5 months? Oh, my father, you are too occupied. You are too engaged. Your money means everything to you. You left Allah, you left us also. Brothers, if this masjid can cry, if this Quran can cry, wallah, it will cry in such a way that no baby has cried. You left Allah, you deserted Allah, you abandoned Allah. Now you came unto us, you left mummy, you left me. Your shop, your empire, your kingdom knows no bounds. So here is my 20 rand. Can I put it in your pocket and humbly ask you and implore you, please come home early tomorrow, Abba. I want to sit with you. May Allah let this incident penetrate into our hearts and our minds. And may He grant us contentment.